Today, sure, we will learn the end of Seder Tfilis, of Sefer Hav, and begin Sefer Zmanim. We will remind the Mazinim and the Mishtafim to remind inside for the Seder Tfilis, but we will begin the Shir from the beginning of Sefer Zmanim. The Rambam begins with the Pasuk from Tehillim, Nachalti Ed Veisach Elo'ilim Kisisayni Bihema. And just to be marked with a short word of the Rebbe, that when it comes to Mitzvah Tlois Bezman, we can look at this Chiyuv from two Eifanim. One is that it's a Chiyuv when the Zman begins. The other aspect is that it's a chiv on the person that when the Zman arrives, we mekayim the mitzvah. And the Rambam is naked, the second shita, that it's a chiv tmidis. Norvas, it's only chal when the Zman arrives. So, nachalti v'sech lo'ilam, the entire time the Yid has the chiv of Gantz Tehre mitzvahs upon him. Norvas, he can only be mekayim during certain Zmanim. So we'll begin. Sefer Shlishi v'hu Sefer Zmanim, Chais of Esav v'zel Sidurim, Hichos Shabbos, Hichos Erevin, Hichos Shvises Aser, Hichos Shvises Yom Tov, Rules of Resting on Yom Kippur and Yom Tov, Hichos Chametz V'Matzah, Hichos Shefer Sukkah V'Lulav, Hichos Shkolim, Hichos Kiddush HaChidush, everyone's favorite, Hichos Tanis, Hichos Megillah V'Chanukah. And we begin with Hichos Shabbos, Yesh Bechlon Chomish Shmitzis, there are five mitzvahs, Shtei Mitzvahs Aser, V'Shalosh Mitzvahs Esasek, two positive and three negatives, Zopraten, Alef Lishbeis Pashvi, to rest on the seventh day, Beish L'Lasis Be'Melach, not to perform any labor, and Gimel, Shlila Anish B'Shabbos, not to adjudicate capital punishment in Shabbos. Dar Shilotzis Mechusik B'Shabbos, not to go beyond the city's boundaries in Shabbos. Heila Kaddish is same as Shabbos B'Shidah, to sanctify Shabbos through commemorating it. And Beir Mitzvahs Eid B'Prokamelo, all these mitzvahs will be explained in the following section of Halachis of Hilchis Shabbos. Perek Rishon Ochal, Shvisa B'Shavi'im Imelacha, resting from work on the seventh day of the week. Mitzvah Esay is a positive mitzvah. Shnei Bavim Hashvi Tishbeis Uchaloisa B'Malacha. Anyone who does perform labor on this day, Bitl Mitzvah Esay, has negated the fulfillment of the positive mitzvah of Avra Alisasay and has transgressed a negative commandment. Shnei Malisase Chol Malacha Ma Hu Chayov Alasis Malacha. What is one liable for if he transgresses and performs labor? Imas Abrit Seini Bezadon. If he does it consciously to his will, Chayv Kares, he's Chayv Kares. Vim Hayusham Edim Asra. If when it was done, Beratzin, there were witnesses and forewarning involved, Niskal, he's chayv skill of a Masa B'Shkagif, was done inadvertently, chayv korban chatas kavoa, he's chayv to bring a chatas. A kiss bo'a se'ira. Lachabeis komakim shenemba b'hichl Shabbos. Whenever it's mentioned, Rambam gives out the outline, whenever it's mentioned hichl Shabbos, she'isadov is a chayv, that somebody who does something is chayv, hariz a chayv koris, it means he's liable koris, vim ha'yishromedim ha'asirah, chayv skill. And if that case, if that pertaining case had witnesses and forewarning, he would be chayv stila. And if he performed that act inadvertently, chayv chatas, he's chayv to bring a carbon. That anyone who performs a certain action is potter, and he's a potter in a karas and a skill and a carbon. He's not liable for karas, a skill, or to bring a carbon. But it's still forbidden to perform this action on Shabbos. It's forbidden as of rabbinic nature. It was established to distance us from performing actual forbidden labor. The one who performs these rabbinic enacted works on Shabbos, on purpose, Makkas Mardis receives Makkas Midrabon. Whenever we see in Hilchos Shabbos the statement that such and such should not be performed, they also lasses kach v'kach b'Shabbos. The one who performs it on purpose, Makkas Mardis receives Malkas Midrabon. Whenever it's stated that it's permissible to do such and such, it is a mutter lechatchila. Mutter means a priori to begin with. Whenever it says one is not liable for anything, a potter meklum is entirely not liable. He doesn't receive any form of punishment. Items that one actions which one may perform in Shabbos, and by performing these actions, it's possible that a malacha will be performed because of it or not. If one had no intent for the performance of the malacha, mutter meaning lechatchila, one may perform this action. In other words, this would be termed as a davar she'ena miskaven. Ketzad geira adam mita kivs v'saf, the person may drag on the ground a bed, a chair, or a bench, chayitza behem b'shabbos, and Shabbos, v'vachal yiskaven achbe v'chadis b'karka b'shazin gridasin, provided that he has no intent to create a furrow in the ground whilst he is dragging the bench. V'fikach tafoim chofro ha'karka, if it happened to be that he did make a groove in the ground, any cheshish, it's of no concern. He shouldn't be worried because his intent was not to make the groove. So to Mahali Chodim Agabi Asav Meshabes Pesem Walk Over Grass and Shabbos Bavadchli Skaven Akreisim, provided his intent isn't to uproot them, which is a malacha. Fikir Tafu Im Nekro In Nechayshish. If one does uproot them, he shouldn't have to be worried. V'reichet Ziyadav Ba'afar Apeis. A person may rinse his hands in certain in those days it would make soap from the residue of fruits. V'chayitzebay Bavadchli Skaven Hashas Esay, provided his intent isn't to use it as a cream that would remove his hair. Lefikach, therefore, im noshar, if his hair ultimately did fall off, ein cheshesh, you shouldn't have to be worried about that. Lechein, so to pitz the chukah, a very narrow entrance, mutli konis baba Shabbos, may be entered through on Shabbos, avo pishe mashet tzeres, even if by doing so, one would, by rubbing against the wall, loosen some of the rocks. Lechein kol dover, she'en miskaven kegein zeh, so to any activity in which there's a possible outcome of a malacha, but an equally possible outcome that a malacha won't be performed. Harei zemuter is permitted to do the original action. If, however, one performs an action which 100% with 100% certainty, the outcome will be that a malacha will be performed. Even if he has no intent for that malacha to be performed, he's liable, because it's a known fact that the action that he's going to do will ultimately bring to the performance of a malacha. Kate said, what's implied? If one wants the head of a chicken to give as a toy for a child, and cut the head off on Shabbos, even if his intent isn't to kill the chicken, he just wants the head, nevertheless, he's still liable. Everybody knows that you can't cut the head off a chicken and the chicken will still live. It's going to die straight away. One performs an act of labor on Shabbos, even if it does not require the effect of the that labor, he is liable for the performance of this malacha, otherwise known as a malacha shenitzicha gufe, famous machlokes rishonim, and we'll see how the Rambam will pass it. Kate said, what's implied? Hareisha kibos haneid, apneishu tzarch l'shem ned apsidah. One extinguished the fire, which is the Isra of Mechabe, but he didn't do it because he wanted to be Mechabe. He did it for the intent of saving the wick or for saving the oil, kadesh lo yoivad, so that they shouldn't be destroyed, they shouldn't be entirely burnt up, kadesh lo yisarif. Or the intent that the candle holder, which in those days was made of earthenware, shouldn't burst because of the heat of the flame. Being that extinguishing is a malacha, and his intent was to extinguish. So therefore, even though he doesn't want, his intent isn't for the purpose of extinguishing, but because he's performing an action of extinguishing, so that is why he would be chayv. Even though he didn't, his intent wasn't for the actual action of extinguishing, rather his intent was for saving the oil, and for saving the wick, and so for saving the other candle. He's still liable. One who moves a thorn that is in the public domain for Amis, or Mechavik Kacheles, or one who extinguishes a coal, Kadishli Zoko Beit Rabim, so that the people won't be harmed by them, Mechayev, is liable of Afapisha Nitzarech Gufa Kibo Gufa Havari, even though his intent is not for the sole purpose of extinguishing the coal or for moving the Kais Bershus Rabim. His intent is that people shouldn't be harmed, but because ultimately his action is going to invoke Malacha, so he's still Chayev. Even though his intent is to remove the damage, the same applies for any other malacha of this nature. Anybody who wants to perform a malacha that is forbidden, but a different malacha was performed and his original intent wasn't played out, he's not liable for the action he performed, because intent was not fulfilled. Ketzav, what's implied, Zorak Evan, a chetz b'chaveri, somebody who threw a stone or an arrow at his friendly behema, directed at an animal, kadeh lahogim, they tend to kill them. V'holach v'akirinim b'hali chasoi, and whilst it was midday, it hit into a tree and it uprooted it. V'lei horek, and didn't kill the intended target. Hariza potter, he is not liable. Hariza kal v'chaymer, from here one may deduce, by way of reasoning, that in the skavan isr kavan, as is a chomer, if one had the intent to perform a minor issa, and instead a major issa was transgress. For example, on one hand, the intent to throw into a karmis, which is not a biblical Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYachid, and his intent was to throw to that area, but instead it landed in the Rishus HaRabim. Shehu Pater, that he would be Pater. V'chein kol kiyetze v'zeh. The Rambam is saying, just like we find in the beginning of the halacha, somebody wants to perform an actual malacha, and a different malacha was performed, he's not liable. Much more so, we can say that one would not be liable in a case where his original intent was not to perform an actual malacha, and at the end of the day, a malacha was performed, that he would not be liable. If one had the intent to perform a permitted action and a forbidden action instead was performed, his intent was when he raised the knife to cut a cucumber that was detached from the ground, and instead he cut a cucumber that was still attached to the ground. He's not liable. If one had in mind to pick black figs, but he picked white figs instead. His intent was to first pick figs and then grapes, but the matter was flipped. And he first picked grapes and then he picked dates, figs. He's not liable. Even though he picked everything that he wanted to, being that he did not pick them on the order that he originally wanted to, Potter, he is not liable, but it's still forbidden. Because this action was performed without the proper intent that he wanted it to be performed. But the Torah only forbade action which a person has conscience of, and the intent, and it's fulfilled in the way that the person wants it to be fulfilled. If a person had in front of him two lamps, one that were either burning or extinguished, if one had in mind to extinguish one and extinguish the other, or to light one, but he lit the other lamp, he's liable. One would be liable, because the action, the performance of labor which he intended to perform, was performed. What can this halacha be compared to? Somebody who had in mind to pick fig number one, but instead he picked fig number two. Somebody who had in mind to kill person A instead of kill person B. The action that he intended to perform was performed. Might have been on somebody else, but the action was performed. If, however, one had in mind, well, his intent was to first light one lamp and then extinguish the other one, and the matter was done differently. He first extinguished the lamp, so it's total darkness, and then he lit the other lamp. Potter, he's not liable. If, however, when he extinguished the first lamp and lit the second lamp, it was done within a very short span of time, Chayv is liable. Even though his intent was to first light the lamp and then extinguish the other one, and he didn't do so. Nevertheless, when he lit the second lamp, he didn't postpone its lighting by too long. The extinguishing of the first lamp and the lighting of the second one are done within the same time frame. And therefore, he is liable, even though technically it was lit after the first lamp was extinguished. Anybody who performs an act of labor by way of playing it without having the intent to perform it, part that he's not liable. Anyone who is intended to perform malach and more than what he intended to do was performed, chayv is liable. But if less than his intent was played out, part that he's not liable. If a person wanted to walk out the house with a bag on his back, but instead walked out the house with a bag in front of him, chayv is liable, because his original intent was that the package should have a lower level of insurance, so to say, and now being that it's in front of him, it's going to be more watched. So being that more of his intent was performed, he's still chayav. If he intended to walk at the house with the package in front of him, and instead he walked out with the package behind him, Potter, he's not liable, because his intent was to leave the house with a high level of insurance over this package, and now he leaves the house with the package being more prone to being damaged and being stolen.
If a person was dressed in an undergarment, and placed this item, this vessel, between his body and this garment. Bein shabal zeh hamaseh shadai kula hitziyei bederech hazeis lefonav. Whether this item is usually taken out in a manner in which it's placed in front of him, bein shabal achrov, whether this item is taken out in a manner in which it's placed behind him, chayav, he's liable shekein darkei liyischezer, because it's natural that if an item is placed under one's undergarment, that it will revolve whilst he's walking. So whether the practice is to take this item in front with a shmir mu'ula, or behind him, which would be a shmir pechuzah, he is always chayav, because the nature of this item is to always swivel around. Anyone who has the intent to perform a forbidden labor on Shabbos and began this labor and performed the minimal amount, these shurim will be explained in the following parakim. Chayiv is liable. Afal pi shelo hishlim kol ha'melachah shenaskav l'shlima, even though the intent for which he began the melacha was not completed, the entire labor wasn't completed. Nevertheless, being that a minimal amount was performed, he's liable. Case of what's implied that he should scaven. Michti v'geres yishtar b'shabbos, if one's intent was to write a letter or document on Shabbos, ein oimne, we don't say l'ischayv zad sheyashlim cheftza v'yichtiv kol yishtar kol yigeres, then one should only be liable when he finishes writing the entire letter. L'mishayichtiv shteyis yischayv, from the moment he writes two letters, he is liable. V'cheinim eskavnerik begatron, if one intends to weave an entire garment, misherik shnei chutin, when he weaves two threads, chayv is liable. V'afal bishuv kavanasa l'hashlim ha-beged, even if his original intent is to complete the weaving of the entire beged. Hoyo v'asa kashir b'kavan, being, as the Rambam mentioned before, the minimal amount of malacha was performed with the prior intent, chayiv, he is liable. V'chim kol ketzib zeloch, tesuav kol malacha shayochot yochal ases eisa labade, any labor which an individual can perform by himself. Also eisa shnayim b'shutvus, but two people do together, bein shasas zemek sasav zemek sasav, whether one performed one aspect of the labor and another performed another aspect of the work. Goin shakir zeh chivitz meshuz zu. For example, let's take the famous mission of the beginning of Shabbos, but the Balabais picks up an item in his rishus, v'nichi hasheni b'shus acheres, and he places it into the hands of the ani, and the ani places it in the other rishus. Or bench also eisus shnehem ke'echel mitchil v'atzeif, or if two people performed the entire labor from beginning to end. For example, she'achso shnehem b'komis v'kosa, two people held a quill, or a pen and wrote, or y'achso kikir v'yitzu m'shus acheres, or held, took hold of a loaf of bread, and transferred its domain. From domain to domain, they are not liable. For if, however, it's a very heavy load which one cannot carry until he has the help of his colleague, two people who are carrying an I-beam, no one person can carry it by himself, being that one person cannot carry it by himself, also and his colleague partnered with him in its carrying from beginning to end, both are liable. The minimal amount in which an individual will be liable for if he performs that work on Shabbos is the same amount in which these two people have to perform to also be liable on Shabbos. If one person is very strong to carry out this package, and the second person by himself, and the second person who assists him isn't necessary, isn't needed in the story, but anyways he helps him. And both partner together to carry it out. Zeh harishon sheyachil, the first individual who has the strength to carry it by himself, chayv is liable v'sheini miseyehu, and the second individual is considered a helper. Miseyeh nechayv klom, the person who is a miseyeh is not liable for in any regard. V'chein kol ki yitzu b'zeh alochid zeh kolam akalkan v'turin, anybody who performs an act of destruction is potter, is not liable, but still also ketzad harishon chavu b'chaveri, a person who inflicts a wound on his colleague or b'behema or an animal derech hashchasa in a manner in a destructive manner, v'chein in kodem begodem yisraf, a person rendered garments or burnt them, v'shava kelim derech hashchasa, broke vessels in a manner of destruction, harei ze potter, he's not liable. Chafar guma vein itzach el lafar, if a person made a hole in the ground and his intent was to only use the dust that he dug out, harei ze makalko v'potter, this is considered the case of makalko, and he's not liable. Afa pish asa malacha, even though he performed a malacha of chedesh in some form, however, kavanas of a kalkal, being that his intent was not to use the hole, it was to make the hole in a manner of destruction, potter is not liable. Lachet ches, kol makalkal manas l'sakin, if it's a kilkal, if it's a destructive action with the intent that it will bring to an action that will fix Chayiv, he is liable. Okay, so what's implied that Isha Sasek, they live in Mimkayim. If a person broke down something with the intent to rebuild in its place, or he erased the letter with the intent to rewrite in the place where he erased, or he dug a hole in the ground, to insert foundations, Chayiv is liable. The amount for which one is liable, the amount of labor for which one is liable in this situation is the same as the amount that one would be liable if he's performing an action of fixing. So the same action of fixing which makes one liable is the same action of makalkul. If it's makalkul manas l'sakim. Malachi test kol ha'isa malachi b'shabbos. Anybody performs a labor on Shabbos, mitzasa b'sheg, mitzasa b'zadon. It was part, inadvertently part on purpose. Ben shehezid l'b'sev shagig. Ben shehezid l'b'sev hezid. Whether it was the beginning or the end that was inadvertent. On purpose or the other way around, potter he is not liable. Achiyasa shir ha'malacha until the minimal amount of labors performed, kula etchila v'atzeif, the entire minimal labors performed, bezadin, with the intent to be over the malacha. Achar kach yichav karis, only afterwards he's liable for karis. Vim ha'yvedim asra, if there were edim, witnesses and forewarning, chayv skila, chayv skila shiyasa shir malacha, kula b'shgagim etchila v'atzeif, or the flip side, the person performs an entire minimal amount of labor, forbidden labor, inadvertently from beginning to end, and only then one will be liable to bring a carbon chatas. In Perek Beis, the Rambam is going to outline which cases do we say that we suspend the performance of Shabbos in saving a Jewish life. Perek Beis, Lachal, Tachoyhi Shabbos, Hesos, Sekonis, and Fashis, Keshar, Kol, Mitzvahs. Shabbos, like all other mitzvahs, is suspended in the face of saving a person who's in a dangerous situation. If there's a sick person who's in a dangerous situation, on the basis of a professional doctor of that location. If there's a doubt whether we should desecrate Shabbos on his behalf or not, if one doctor says we should desecrate Shabbos on his behalf, another doctor says we shouldn't, we desecrate Shabbos on his behalf, because when it comes to even a doubtful situation of saving someone, that always supersedes the performance, the upkeep of the mitzvah of Shabbos. If the physicians determine on Shabbos that he requires a certain actions that involve a malacha, the shmini yamim, for a process of 8 days. Ain't omen, we don't say namtan adu edif, let's wait to the evening, to matzah Shabbos. Kedei, with the intent, so that, shalai lechal of shtei shabbosis, two shabbosis won't be desecrated on his behalf. Elo maschinu mehayim, we begin from the day of the assessment, shohu Shabbos, which is Shabbos, machan nol afilo mei shabbosis, and we desecrate even 100 shabbosis, kol zman shul tzorch, as long as there is a need, v'yesh bei sakana, and the sick person is in a dangerous situation. Isfek sakana, or in a doubtful case of a sakana mechalin, we desecrate Shabbos on his behalf. We light a fire for him. We extinguish the candle in front of him. We shecht an animal for him. And we cook and bake for him. And we heat up water bein hashkeis bein hanichitas gufei, whether to drink or to bathe in. Klal shodaver. The general principle is as follows: is that Rambam Shabbos agabi chayla, the kiyum of Shabbos in the face of a person who is sick, shesh by sakanu, who is gravely ill, harihu kachoyl l'chol hadvanim, is considered as a regular weekday regarding all matters shul tzarech lehen, regarding all matters that he requires. Halachagim kasha'isim devarim ha'ilu, when such treatment is administered to the sick person, in eisen eisen loyedei nachim, shouldn't be performed through Gentiles, loyedei ketan with whom minus, loyedei avodim, loyedei nashim, not through servants or women, kadesh leitei Shabbos kala b'neim, so that they won't view Shabbos in a light-handed manner. Erol de Gril Yisrael Chachamim should be performed only through the greats of Klal Yisrael and the wise ones. Also, l'smamei b'chilul Shabbos l'chayla, it's forbidden to tarry when it comes to desecrating Shabbos for the sake of saving a person who is ill, who is gravely ill. Shnema she'yasa isam ha'adam v'chay b'hem. The Torah was given in a way that we should live by them. V'lo yishyamas b'hem, not that we should die by them. Hol madato, from here we deduce, she'en mishpatei ha'Torah nakamam v'olam, that the laws of Torah are considered vengeance. El rachma v'chesed v'shalom b'olam, rather they bring mercy, goodness and kindness and peace to the world. V'lo ha'apikorsim, the apikorsim she'em who say, she'zeh chilul Shabbos, that one who desecrates Shabbos on account of a person who is gravely ill, is considered chilul Shabbos v'asur, and it's forbidden to do so. Alein hakasav emir, regarding them, the pasuk in Yechezkel tells us, gamani nasatlim chukim leitevim umishpatim leyichyu bohem, that I gave them harmful chukim and mishpatim which they cannot live. Lachad dalad, hacheshesh bein, of a person whose eyes are ailing, vahu shi'a b'shtehim, either it be both eyes, abachas mehim, or one of them, as tzir, there's a certain dew, a certain fluid that is flowing from his eyes. Shahi Dumay Shaisa says, Mehen Mariv Hakev, his eyes were constantly tearing from the terrible pain. Shahi Dam Shaisim Hen, if there was blood that was coming down from his eyes. If he had a fever, or any other kind of sickness like this, they are considered a person who's dangerously ill. And his behalf, in all manner of treatment may be performed for him. So too, if a person has an internal wound, if it's from his lips inside, whether it be in his mouth, in his intestines, whether it be in his liver or kidneys, his liver or his spleen, or any other internal organ, anything that is inside him, he would be considered in a dangerous situation, and he doesn't require the assessment of a physician, because an internal damage is considered a very grave sickness. On his behalf, without any assessment from a physician. If there's a wound on the back of the hand or the back of the foot, is considered for this intent as a wound that would be inside someone's body, which does not require the assessment of a physician, and we immediately desecrate Shabbos on saving him. A certain kind of fever that causes a person's skin to shrivel is considered a makah shel cholo, an internal wound. And we desecrate the Shabbos on his behalf. So to any disease which the doctors say that there's a danger involved, even if it's one's exterior skin, we violate Shabbos on their account. One who swallows a leech, we heat up water for him on Shabbos, and all manner of medical treatment is performed for him, because now he's in a dangerous situation. If a mad dog bit someone, or he echel offer any of the creepy crawlies, when they bite, they kill, for example, snake or scorpion, even if it's doubtful whether they kill or not, all manner of the medicine may be performed to save this individual. If the sick person was assessed by physicians that he required bringing a fig, and 10 people ran, and they brought him 10 figs at the same time, none of them are liable. Even though only one fig is required, even if they were brought consecutively and not at the same time, even if the chayla got healthier after eating the first fig, because all of these individuals had permission to bring these figs. If a sick person required two figs, and nothing was available, only shtei gregoris b'shnei uktim, two figs on two different stalks. Or shalish gregoris by ketzachah, there was one single stalk that contained three figs. Says an amam kaisan oikas shesh by shalish, we cut the stalk that has the three figs, afal pish einon shen tzirichin elishtam, even though he only requires two, kadesh layabu bitzire, with the intent that so that one does not perform the malacha of bitzire, of gleaning. El yichas so ikets echot, rather he should cut one stem, vel yichas so shnei, not two, vechen kol, ki yetzab zahalacha tes, mavash lochidam b'shabas, one. When food is cooked for a sick person on Shabbos, and the sick person ate, and there was leftovers. Also, it's forbidden for a healthy person to eat the leftovers, because there's concern that the cook will add food for him. However, as mentioned before, if a person requires an animal to be shechted for his account on Shabbos, he may do so. So if they shechted an animal on Shabbos, a person who is not a chayla may eat raw flesh, which does not require meliche. Meliche in its general context is termed meliche l'gdeda, because it only requires meliche if it's cooking it. If you're eating it raw, it only requires hadacha. And in this case, there's no concern of shema yabba b'shvila. Shein b'dover tesefes, kidei shenigzeh shema yabba b'shvila. Because unlike when it comes to bishul, in which case you could say that only X amount is required for the chayla, when it comes to shechita, you can't say that only X amount is required for the chayla, and there's a concern that we might add in the malacha for the person who's not a chayla.
Because when it comes to shechita, you have to shech the entire animal, regardless of how much the chayla needs or not. When it comes to bishul, you can say that only a certain amount is needed for the chayla. But when it comes to shechita, you have to shech the entire animal. So there's no gzeir b'chalav shem yarbe v'chein kol k'yetze b'zeh. L'chayud chayla shem b'sekane, person who is not dangerously ill, eisen ha'kotzrach av'adei nachri, all his needs should be taken care by a gentile. Gentile. Ketzad, what's implied? Im l'hanachi l'ases loivu hu'ei, so we tell a gentile to perform a certain work, and he does it, l'vash loivu l'efes, to bake the cook, l'hovi l'fum shus l'shus, to bring medicine from domain to domain, v'chayitze bo'ilo. V'chein keich alein of min anachi, the Shabbos, a person may receive a certain kind of medicine they would place around their eyes in Shabbos. Av v'pishin shem sekani, even though the patient isn't dangerously ill. Im ho'i tzirichim l'dvarim she'im bohem alache, if the patient required something whose performance wasn't inherently a malacha, even a yid may perform it. One may lift the tendons of the ear of Shabbos, or mylon unkeli, and lift up the cartilage around the heart, and restore broken bones. A woman. When she kneels down to give birth, she's considered a patient in a dangerous situation, and we desecrate the Shabbos on her account. We call the midwife from a different location, and we cut the umbilical cord, and it should be tied. If she requires a candle during whilst she is crying out in her labor pains, Madlikin la asaner, will light a candle for her because it placates her mind. Even if she was blind, we still light a candle for her, because a blind person's mind would be brought down to a calm state, even though they don't see, but there's a candle that's being lit. If she needs oil or anything else, it may be brought to her. Whenever we're able to carry in a manner that isn't normally carried, and we do so. Again, for example, her friend brings a certain vessel tied in her hair. But if it's not possible to bring it, may be brought in an ordinary manner. We do not assist an idolatrous to give birth on Shabbos, or feel besach, even if payment is being offered, and we don't take concern if they're going to hate us for this, even if chil Shabbos isn't involved. We may, however, assist the daughter of a ger teshuv give birth, because we're commanded to secure their health and well-being. We may not, however, desecrate Shabbos on their behalf. A woman who is giving birth, from the moment the blood begins to flow, and until she gives birth, and from the moment of birth till 3 days afterwards, we desecrate the Shabbos on behalf of and all her needs are performed. Whether she said she does require this malacha or not, from day 3 to 7 of the birth, if she says I don't require certain malacha, we do not desecrate the Shabbos based on her word. If she was silent, and needless to say, if she said I need a certain action performed, we desecrate the Shabbos on her behalf. From day 7 to day 30 after the birth, she's considered as a sick person who is not in grave danger. Even she says, I do require certain malacha to be performed on Shabbos, this labor should only be performed through Gentiles. We may light a bonfire for a woman who was given birth, even during the summertime, because the cold is extremely dangerous for women who have just given birth in the cold locations. We may not, however, make a bonfire for a sick person to warm himself up in front of. Hikizdam, and a son of person let blood, which was a practice in those days, which they would make an incision in themselves and let the blood flow from them with the intent that the sickness would leave the body. And if a person, after doing this practice, got a cold, we may make a bonfire for him. Even during the summer season, we may bathe the newborn baby in Shabbos, the day that he's born, after the umbilical cord is cut. This applies to even bathing him in water that was heated up on Shabbos.
he may be umlafaf and oisei. We do certain types of activities to the baby, such as smoothing out his bones and rinsing him in certain kind of ointments, because it's dangerous for him. If we do not perform these activities on him, we give him we wash him before the bris, and after the bris, and the third day after the bris, as mentioned in Hilchos Mila, in hot water, heated up on Shabbos, because of the danger involved. When a woman is sitting on the birthing stool, and she passes away, we transport a knife even through the public domain on Shabbos. So we cut open the stomach and we take out the fetus. Perhaps he might be found alive. Because when it comes to saving a Yiddish neshama, even if it's a case of doubt, it supersedes the performance of Shabbos. And it applies even to this case, in such an instance, where there's no chazaka on which to base our presumption that the fetus is alive. All activities necessary to save a life should be performed on Shabbos. No permission is required to be taken from the court. One who is zealous in this regard and saves a Yiddish neshama, he's praiseworthy. Ketzad, what's implied, if he saw a child fall into the sea, he spreads out a net to bring him up, even if this would involve catching fish at the simultaneously. If he heard that a child had drowned in the sea, and he spread out a net to bring him up, and he only brought up fish, he's not liable on any account. If his intent was that he wanted to bring him to catch fish, and he actually did catch a fish, but he also caught the child, and he never heard of the child who drowned, thus he saved the child's life. He's not liable for catching the fish, even if he didn't hear that the child drowned, because he, at the end of the day, he saved the life of the child together with the fish that he pulled up. If a child fell into a pit, one may dislodge a clod of earth that is at the rim of the pit, even by doing so, one creates a step. If a door becomes locked in front of a child, he may break down the door and take the child out. Even though by doing so, he breaks the door in a manner in which its splinters would be used for a malacha, and this may be performed, lest the child become frightened by being secluded in a room and he will die. If a fire broke out, and there's concern, perhaps somebody is within that domain and he will be burnt alive, we extinguish the fire to save him. Even if by doing so, one prepares a pathway during the extinguishing. Anybody who takes steps up to the plate to save him, doesn't have to take rishus from the court. Whenever it's an action that involves saving a person whose life is in danger. If there's an avalanche or a building collapsed, we don't know if he's there or not. We may remove the debris. If he's found alive, even if he's crushed to the extent of your body, that he won't be able to recover. We remove the stones and the debris, and we take him out to enable him to live however long he does. If in the process of clearing the debris, they reached his nose of and assessed that there was no breath, we let him be there because the assessment is that he's already died. If a building collapsed and they found in the top layers of the debris people who died, that the ones at the bottom of the pile of debris also died. We remove all the debris. It could be that during an avalanche, that those on top of the rubble will die, but those underneath will remain alive. If there's a courtyard, that house is goyim in yid. Even if there's one yid to 1,000 goyim, and an avalanche fell upon them, we remove all the debris mipnei Yisrael for the intent of saving the yid. If one of the inhabitants of this courtyard went to another courtyard, Vanaflo Olov, Isa Chatzir, and in that second courtyard, an avalanche fell. Vafachan Olov, we remove that debris. Shema Zesha Perish HaYisra, could be that this person who went away from courtyard number one was the Yid, Vanisharam Evdi Kichav Mazalis, and everybody else who remained in courtyard number one is considered Argoim. And this is a case when the Gemara Newman tells us that by Sekanas Nefashis, we don't go after the Rav. Because you might think, called the Parish Merubah Parish. Nevertheless, over here we say that even though the Rav is Goyim, it could be that the one person who left the Chatzah 1 to Chatzah 2 was the Yid. If all of them went to move from quartet number 1 to quartet number 2, whilst they were moving, one of these individuals went to a different courtyard, and he fell, and an avalanche fell upon him. We don't know who he is. We do not remove the debris. Because the moment everybody began to move themselves from quartet number 1, there is no a surety that the person who left is a Yid, and anybody who is going out from that crowd, whilst they are moving from quarter number one, we do take into account as if he is from the Rav, which are going. If those who lived in quarter number one, the majority were Yidden, even though they all began to move, and one of the inhabitants of the courtyard went to a different courtyard, and an avalanche fell upon him, we may remove the debris to save him. A person who's traveling in the desert, and he loses track of time and doesn't know when Shabbos is. He counts 6 days from the day that he regains his mind, and he sanctifies the seventh. And makes Kiddush and Havdalah. Every day, even that day, which for him he considers to be Shabbos, he may perform labor, but only the minimal amount for his sustenance, so he shouldn't die. It's forbidden him to perform any labor more than what's required for him to live. Because every day it could be possible that it's Shabbos for him. If he knows that today is the 8th day from his original departure, also the 15th day from his departure, or any other number based on this number count, it's permissible for him to perform work on that day, because 7 days ago means Shabbos. If now his 8th day means 7 days ago was Shabbos, and he knows for certain that he wouldn't have left on Shabbos. Shar hayamim, every other day, chutz miyem zeh, with the exception of this specific day, he's only allowed to earn the basic amount for his livelihood. Halacha Chav Gimel 23, if Goy made a siege on a Yiddish city, if it was an account of taking money or taxes, ain mecham l'nisa Shabbos, we don't desecrate the Shabbos on their behalf, and we don't wage war against them. If however it's a city that's on the border of Eretz Yisrael, even if the goyim only came to take straw and thistles, we go out with God's glory, with the guns blazing, and we desecrate the Shabbos to save this city. In every place, if the goyim are coming because on basis of a matter that involves saving Yiddish lives, or they began to actually wage war, or there's no clear intent for the siege, we go against them with our military might, and we desecrate the Shabbos to save them. It's a mitzvah and comment on every Yid, who are able to participate in the war, to assist their brethren who are in the siege, and to save them from these goyim on Shabbos. It's forbidden to them to wait to begin the fight, to begin on Matzah Shabbos. When they save the brethren, they're allowed to return home, because they him with the weapons, so that a dangerous situation will not be created in the future. As the Gemara tells us, that one time they went to save a city of Yidden, and they left their weapons after the war had finished. And when they were going back to their towns, the Goyim mounted an attack. Being that they didn't keep the weapons on them, so there were many casualties. So from then on, the Chacham said that Yidden who go to fight to one Shabbos may return to their location with their weapons. If a ship is sinking at sea, a city that was surrounded by a flooding river, in Nohar, mitzvah lotes b'Shabbos latzilon, it's a mitzvah for us to desecrate Shabbos and save them, b'chol dover sheyochol latzilon, in any way that it's possible for us to save them. B'filu yochad hanidov, even an individual who is being chased, m'pnei oivdei kichavim ha-mazolis by goyim, b'pnei nochash yidoyiv, or by a snake or a beh, shuhuredev achrov, that is pursuing him, b'hogir tekilu mitzvah latzilon, we have a mitzvah to save this yid. B'filu basis kama malachis b'Shabbos, even if it involves the performance of many malachis b'Shabbos, b'filu sachin kli zayin latziloi, even if it involves fixing one's, putting together one's weapons, mutter is permitted. We may cry out to Hashem on their behalf and make certain supplications, and sound the trumpets to summon help for them. However, says the Rambam, one shouldn't cry out and have these special tefillahs because of a plague on the Shabbos. And the Gemara in Tanis explains the reason why. We begin a siege against Geisha cities 3 days before Shabbos, and we wage a war against them on every day of the week, even on Shabbos, until it is entirely conquered. Even if this war is a war of is voluntary in nature. As we know, there are two types of Mohammed, is Mohammed's mitzvah, Mohammed's Roshus. When the Pasuk says Adridita, it includes Shabbos. We have to wage the war. If it began before Shabbos, we have to continue it in Shabbos. Needless to say, when it comes to Mechemes Mitzvah, that a war that we began before Shabbos is continued into Shabbos. But more than Mechemes Roshos, a Mechemes Mitzvah is unique that we begin a Mochama even on Shabbos. Unlike Mechemes Roshos. Mechemes Roshos can only begin before Shabbos. Mechemes Mitzvah can begin even on Shabbos, as we see Lekovish Hashu Yericha El B'Shabbos, that Yericha was only conquered on Shabbos, because that is when the war began. And Yericha is a Mechemes Mitzvah. And then it's Gedrungen, that when it comes to Mechemes Mitzvah, war may begin even on Shabbos, Gufeh.